Good. It's good to have Rhonda with us also back there. Good. And, hey, good morning. Did you get off work today? Did you sneak out? Good. We're glad to have you. Good. All right. You should be in Psalm 27. Are you there yet? Good. I want to start with a test this morning, see how sharp you guys are. There are literally thousands of phobias, things that people are afraid of. You can look it up online and you can find all kinds of phobias. And I've only written down 10, and I want to test you here, see how sharp you guys are this morning. I know that's not fair to make you think this early, but we're going to do it anyway. I'll start with an easy one, all right? You tell me this is the fear of what? Number one, arachnophobia. There you go. Here's another. This is a little tougher. Acrophobia. Acrophobia.
Acrobats.
Fear of acrobats. That's exactly right. And that's pretty close because it's the fear of heights. There you go. So it has the same word there. This one you probably know. Agoraphobia is fear of crowds. Okay. Some of you have that. Astrophobia. Now, you probably don't know that. My dog has it. Last night. What's that? Fear of storms. Yeah. Last night I was trying to study at the computer, and this crazy dog. It's a long story, but he just won't leave me alone, and he's just bugging me because we got thunder and lightning, and he is deathly afraid of those things. This one you probably don't know, but you can figure it out. Monophobia. Fear of being alone. Very good. Ornithophobia. I can't even say the word.
Fear of birds.
That's what it is. Thank you. This is a little different. This is I have this. Electorophobia. This is a fear of chickens. It's terrible. Especially roosters, you know, at about 4:30 in the morning. Trypanophobia. Some of you medical people might know that one. Trypanophobia is a fear of needles. Yeah, probably a lot of you have that one. Here's an easy one. I don't know why it's on number 9. Aquaphobia. You know that one. Yeah, fear of water. This is Hippopotamonstrosoquibiadaliaphobia. It's the fear of long words. Now, those are kind of funny. Unless you have it. And fear is obviously a very real thing in really all of our lives. And fear can totally change a person's life and keep them from being what they ought to be. No, there's no doubt about it. And if we were honest, every one of us would say there were times and are, or have been times, maybe even now, when fear controlled you and you could not function normally because of fear. We've all been there. We've all done that. Now, we can kind of expect that from unsaved people. I mean, they have a lot to fear. And they have no help in their fear except medication. Or psychiatrists or psychologists. But what about Christians? Is it okay for Christians to be controlled by their fears? Let's take a poll. How many think it's okay for Christians to be controlled by their fears? See, he was not afraid to raise his hand. I appreciate that about you, Joe. Good.
It depends on if it's a healthy fear.
There are healthy fears, aren't there? I have fear of red lights, flashing ones. In my rearview mirror, I have real fear of that. Yeah, healthy fears are okay, aren't they? There are some things you ought to be afraid of. Some things, sure, and that controls you. But there are fears that are fears that should not be. And there are Christians today, unfortunately, that are controlled by, I don't know if we could call them unhealthy or really ungodly fears. I don't want to talk to you about that this morning because that's our topic in Psalm 27. And David comes on the scene here and he said, I will not fear. And we're going to see that in Psalm 27. We're going to take a couple weeks to get through. It's good to have Glenn with us this morning also. Glenn Sparks, good to have you. So you're in Psalm 27. I want to start by reading the whole psalm this morning. It's not real long. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Notice, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, listen, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident, or I will have trust or faith. I tell you what, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, because I'm going to run out of time. And that's all I'm going to cover this morning, are those three verses. Psalm 4 is my life verse. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. And it's been such a blessing and help to me even this week. So David comes on the scene, and all we're going to see this morning is the first main points. If you're taking notes, David's record of God's help. David's record of God's help. And we see it really in three tenses, in the present, in the past, in the future. So we'll see all three of those this morning as we move along. So David, as I've already pointed out to you, is a man who said, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to be full of fear, I'm not going to be controlled by fear. Now, again, people in life today are often controlled by fear, and I've given you some kind of crazy ones, but let's be a little more realistic. What are some things that cause Christians to fear? What's that? Sure, health problems. Sin? Okay. Financial, sure. Kids. Who said that? Who said kids, Rachel? Oh, you said it. Okay. That's a good answer. I was just curious who had kids. Oh, your daughter's with you. Okay, I get it. Okay, good, good, good. Lack of knowledge. Good. That's good, Steve. Yeah, a lot of things in life that cause fear. Now, did David have reasons in his life to be afraid? Help me with that. What are some things in David's life? Now, we're talking about King David, okay? King of Israel. Oriental king. What are some things that could have brought fear to him? Saul, yeah. Think about that. Think about, let's be more specific. Yeah, how'd he try it first? Yeah, throwing spears. Now, that could cause a little bit of fear. You're sitting in a room, guys throwing spears at you. You know, I don't know about you, but that might caused me a little nervous. He marries Saul's daughter, Michal, and Saul's going to come and kill him, and of course he escapes. He goes out in the wilderness with all these guys. Saul's chasing him everywhere he goes. He tries to hide in certain places, and the people in the city turn him in. He's fighting the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Syrians. His own son, Absalom. I tell you, folks, if you're an Oriental king, they're after you. Okay? And so here's a man whose life could have been filled with fear, and yet he says again, look at these in verse 1, whom shall I fear? What's he saying? I'm not going to be afraid of what? Anybody. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. He said, look, the wicked come and all those things, but in verse 3, my heart shall not fear, and in this will I be confident. That word is the word trust. Here is a man who could have been full of fear, no doubt about it. And yet he said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He said, I'm not going to let these ungodly fears control my life. Now, the question is, why? And let's be honest, don't we all want to live like that? None of us want to be controlled by the wrong kind of fears. None of us do. So how could David say that? Surely he had a lot more to be concerned about than we do. And yet he said, I'm not going to be afraid. So the reason for David's fearlessness, we've looked at the record of his fearlessness, look at the reason for it, and it's threefold. Number one, the Lord is what? My light. That's important, isn't it? The Lord is my light. Now, obviously we know that God is the source of all light. And all you have to do is go back to the book of Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and what was on the face of the deep? Darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. So he's the source of all light, but it's interesting, in 1 John 1:5 it says, God is light. He's the source of light, but he is light. Now, let me help me here again. When you think of light, this is a tough one. Okay, you ready? Got your thinking caps on? What is the opposite? Wow, you guys. When you think of darkness, what kind of goes along with that?
Fear.
Fear does. Yeah, what else? Evil? Sin?
Unsafe?
Okay. Anything else? Sadness? Ignorance? Steve mentioned. Ignorance is really darkness, isn't it? Mentally? Lies? And as someone already mentioned, darkness brings fear. Why is it that whenever you go into these caves, every cave I've ever been in that was man-controlled, they had lighting and stuff, everyone, when you're on a tour, you get inside, they did this in Chattanooga, they did this in Bristol, they did this out in Vail. Every place I go into a cave, you know, what do they always do? They always turn out the lights. Isn't that amazing? I think these guys enjoy it. They just think it's the greatest thing in the world. Let's just get these people scared to death. And you know, it's so dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face, that kind of thing. And darkness brings fear. It's all associated together. Now, what about light? When you think of light, what do you think of? Darkness can't exist, all right? Hope? What else? Peace? What's that? A guide? Okay, you can see. Guide, know where you're going. Okay. So the Bible says God is light. He's the source of light. He is light, but that's not what David says. What does David say? Now remember, we're trying to find out how come he is not fearful. He did not say God is the source of light. He did not even say God is light. He said God is my light. What a difference. What a difference that makes. Because when you are born spiritually, you are born in what? Darkness. Darkness. You're without God. You have no hope in this world. You're in the darkness of sin and depravity. And unsaved people live their life in spiritual darkness, far from God. And when they die, they go to hell. They go to a place of torment and darkness. I mean, the unsaved life is all about darkness. It really is. But remember, and by the way, the Bible also says, men love what? Darkness because their deeds are evil. Now, I want you to hold your place in Psalms 27. We're going to come back there. But I want you to flip over to John chapter 1. And I don't know that I can say this has the most, the word light the most times. I should have checked that. But it has it a bunch. And I just want you to look at the word light in the Gospel of John. And we're going to start in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. By the way, who's the Word? That's Jesus Christ. And was with God, and the Word was God, the same in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Wow, what a passage. And then flip over to chapter 3 and verse 19. And I've already mentioned this, 3:19, and this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And what a picture of an unsaved person, without Christ, without spiritual light, in darkness. Boy, have you met people like that? What a sad situation. No desire for the things of God. No desire to do right. No desire for light. They're just in darkness. and just totally lost and far from God. And then flip over to chapter 8, verse 12. 8:12. We're going to look at a couple more here, so keep your fingers moving there. So here Jesus is at the Festival of Lights, and he says in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. Just a couple more here. John 12, 35 and 36. The people answered him, verse 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." Wow. Here's an amazing thing. You're born in this world in darkness spiritually. You're lost. You're without Christ. You're headed for a place of eternal darkness, a place called hell. And then someone told you about the light, Jesus Christ. Remember that day? And you received Christ. You, by faith, said, "I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be in darkness. I'm in darkness." And you turn to Christ by faith and you receive him. And when you did that, something amazing took place. Now, you no longer just say, "The Lord is the source of light." You no longer say, "The Lord is light." You can now say, "The Lord is my light." If you've ever been to a graveside service with Preacher Lashley, he typically would read Psalm 23. And it says what? "The Lord is my shepherd." And he would say, you know, it's wonderful to be able to say the Lord is a shepherd. It's great to be able to say the Lord is the shepherd. But he said, oh, the best thing in the world is to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. And here's an amazing thing. God is light. God is the source of light. But when you got saved, you too can say with the psalmist David, "The Lord is my light." Now, here's a great verse. I'm not going to have you look it up. But in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Christian, you've been saved. God is now your light, and God calls you to walk in the light. By the way, can a Christian walk in darkness? Sure. In the darkness of sin, the darkness of fear, there's no doubt about it. Christians, it happens to us all the time. But folks, we have to remember that God calls us to walk in the light. In Psalm 18:28, it says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Here David says, folks, look, I want you to know that I am not afraid because God is my light. We often say this, and I'm going to say it again. When we are full of fear, the problem is a lack of faith. Okay? A lack of faith. And really, that comes to a misunderstanding about the very nature of God. God doesn't want you to walk in darkness. God doesn't want you to be controlled by darkness. God wants you to walk in the light. By the way, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When God saved you, he saved you, hallelujah, out of the darkness and placed you in the light. And he said, I want you to walk in the light. Now, that means a lot of things. One, it means to walk in purity, doesn't it? Not in sin. Not in the darkness of sin. Not in the guilt of sin. You may be here today and you say, boy, I'm saved, but boy, I just, there are things in my past. Hey, that's darkness. God doesn't want you in that. He wants you to be thinking about the light and the truth. And he saves us to walk in the light. And when we do, what happens? We have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with one another. Now think about this. If my cupboard is a... Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
That's good to know. He is a Christian. So he's been saved out of darkness into light. If he's walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, how are we going to get along? Pretty good. What happens, though, when Mike Hubbard walks in darkness? Now, it wouldn't be me, but if Mike walks in darkness, then we got trouble, don't we? But we walk in the light. We have fellowship one with another. There's fellowship. There's sweetness. It's great. It's wonderful. But what happens when somebody gets in the darkness? Ooh, you got trouble. So, number one, he says, God is my light. But look back in Psalm 27. Let's see the second one. Not only is he my light, and because of that, whom shall I fear? But also, he is my what? Salvation. Now, when we hear that word, we think about what we just talked about, right? It's really not what it's talking about. It's not talking about redemption. This is talking about being saved from physical, financial, family problems. And here's the simple matter of fact. He is saying, God has the ability to save me out of any situation. Now look, folks, there are some of you folks in some tough situations. I think of this Naren family that Brother Wampler mentioned this morning. Wow, that is a dark situation. That is a difficult situation. Let me ask you a question. If they're believers, and I don't know them, if they're believers, do they have a source, a resource, that will help them through this problem? Do you really believe that? Is there any problem that you can have as a believer? Foster's trying, working on getting his wife and children over here, but it's tough. He's alone. He's here by himself. I said, look, buddy, it's okay. This too shall pass away. And it will. Can God help him through this? Foster, he can. Keep trusting, buddy. I know it's tough. I know it's, I mean, I'm not, I can't say I've been there and done that. When my wife's gone for a week, I can't hardly take it. But I know God knows, and God can help you. Here's a great verse. With God, most things are possible. Now, how do we live? How do we live? Which one do we practically live with our life? Most things or all things? With God, all things are possible. God is able to deliver. Look, in Romans 8:31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I know the context there, but folks, simple matter of fact is, God is able to do it. I love Exodus chapter 14. Don't turn there. But they're up against the Red Sea. They've just come out of Egypt. Pharaoh's behind them. The Red Sea's in front of them. Things don't look good. And in verse 13, the Lord says, or Moses says, fear ye not, stand still. How many are good at that? How many are good at stand still? Yeah? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Same idea. Deliverance. God, look, we see that. He's able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Now, do you believe that? Is there anything too hard for God? Now look, if you really believe that, and if I really believe that, when we come into situations that are rough, what are we going to do? Darkness? Oh no, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? I can't. Oh, give me some pills, you know. Or are you going to be able to say, God's still on the throne? He's still in control. He's still able. And I'm going to trust him. David said, the Lord is my light and he is my strength. And I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because I ended up preaching on this on Wednesday night for those that were here. But in Jeremiah 16:19, he says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. And what a great truth, folks, to know that when it gets tough, you can run to a God who is able to help you. Here's a great hymn. We don't sing it here. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, that's the devil, does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. I'm glad he didn't stop there. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And I like the third. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. Isn't that good? Do you feel that way sometimes? We will not fear. Why? For God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Boy, I tell you what, there's some doctrine in that song, isn't there? I mean, that's not one of those little 7-Eleven choruses, is it? I mean, that's a serious thing right there, folks. And I love, you say, Gary, but I'm so weak. You say, I can't handle it. I can't. Okay, that's good. You're in a good place then. Because in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect when? In weakness. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to this. Can you say this? Can I say this? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Hello? Let's find a rubber room for this guy. I mean, there's something wrong with this guy. Why did he say that? He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When do you know God's power? When you're on the mountaintop? Smooth sailing. Everything's great, right? Uh-uh. No. It's when you're in the trial. And he says, therefore, listen to this. I take pleasure in infirmities. You go to the doctor and he said, well, you have cancer. Hallelujah! That's great. Say what? That's what he's saying here. In reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. Wow. He said, I'm not going to be afraid. He said, because of who God is. He is my light and he is my strength. So there's the present, and I'm going to have to hurry. And then let's move on to the past. Look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Doesn't that sound nice? You think you've got it bad. You've got somebody trying to destroy you, eat up your flesh. I mean, just wipe you out, take you down. They came upon me in my flesh. They stumbled and they fell. And you know what he's doing here? First, he was talking about the present. Now he's talking about the past. And I know Paul said, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. When is it good to remember the past?
When it can encourage us.
When it can encourage you. I think it's a good practice. There are times when things are not going the way that you want them to. And you can stop and remember what God has done for you, and that's an encouragement. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever failed you? Now, I know, humanly speaking, we could say, well, yeah, I prayed for this, it didn't happen. But we know that God cannot fail. If we think he did, it's a problem with our understanding, not with him. And so we can look at the past and we can see, oh, look what God did. And by the way, this is exactly what David did when he stood to fight Goliath. By the way, you think about that picture. When he comes on the scene, what is the whole army filled with? Fear. And the king who stood head and shoulders above everybody else and should go out and fight Goliath, what's he saying? Well, my back, you know, I got this sciatic nerve problem here. And he's scared to death. David comes on the scene. He said, I can take him. And when he goes to Saul, remember what he said to him?
Killed a lion.
Yeah, I just want you to know, buddy. I may be small, and I'm young, but I did kill a bear. I did kill a lion. What's he doing? He's looking to what God did in the past to help him as he goes out against Goliath. And here's a man that God has helped over and over and over again. And he looks to the past. And then really quickly here, we've got to finish up. He looks to the future. Verse 3. Look at this confidence. Look at this. Though an host should encamp against me. Okay? You got that picture? You remember the story of Elijah? It was Elisha. Elisha, I think. One of the two. And his servant goes out to get the paper in the morning. And he looks up, and what does he see? He sees an army all around the city. And he said, oh, my soul, we're in trouble. And the prophet said, it's okay, buddy. It's okay, buddy. There's more with us than there are with them. And, of course, he prayed, and God opened his eyes, and he looked, and he said, oh, wow, we're okay. And, of course, God smote the army with blindness, and they took him downtown Samaria. And what a story. But he's saying, look, in the future, he said, if a host stands up against me, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? How could he say that? Because he knew that God was his light and that God was his strength and that God had helped him and he was his salvation and that God had helped him and helped him in the past and God wasn't going to forsake him now. God was going to help him now. So even though a host comes, he's not going to fear. And then at the end of the verse, the war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. It's interesting, that Hebrew word is found 120 times in the Bible. 103 times it's translated a different word, not confident, but the word trust. What's he saying? I don't care what comes. I'm going to trust in God, in who he is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So, in conclusion, let me ask you, are you struggling with some fears today? You say, Gary, if you knew what my problems were, you would understand. Now, folks, let me just be real nice to you. That's a cop-out. Okay? And if I ever come to you and say, well, Rick, I'm really discouraged, man. I'm in darkness, buddy. This is tough. But if you knew what was going on in my life, you'd understand. Let me ask you a question. Has God changed? Look, if you come and see me and I'm discouraged and despondent and depressed and all those D words, okay, there's one problem. My focus is on the wrong thing, on the wrong person. And folks, the thing that helped David to keep from being afraid was that he focused on God, and God was his light, and God was his salvation, and God was his strength. And hallelujah, if we'll focus there, we can be like David and not be afraid. Okay? Let me encourage you, read the rest of the chapter. Lord willing, we'll be in it for a couple more weeks, and we'll move on to my favorite verse in the Bible. Well, it's my favorite verse. What I've called my life's verse, verse 4. It's a great verse. You look at that. We'll be back next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And God, we pray that you'd help us as Christians to walk in the light, to be in the marvelous light of the grace of God. God, give us triumphant wisdom and power and strength. And God, if there are folks here today who are struggling with darkness, God, I pray that you'd give them light. And they would turn to God and that they could say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh God, help us to be Christians who walk in the light. If there's one here today who's not sure of heaven, I pray that before they leave the grounds today, they would come to the source of light and receive the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be sure of heaven and never have to fear eternal darkness, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Steve, good to have you with us, buddy. Good to have you. Great. Cody, good to have you this morning. Great.